Welcome to Capital Baptist Church, and welcome to our teaching series called Growth Track. And today we're going to be continuing and completing that series, talking about the topic of let's grow deep and wide. Let's grow deep and wide. I'm so glad to be able to stand before you today and say, yes, Capital Baptist Church has a plan for spiritual growth. You are part of a church that can describe to you specifically what it takes to get on a growth track. And that's what this series has been all about, explaining to you the growth track of Capital Baptist Church, which is based on the first church. We're not just thinking this stuff up on our own. We're going all the way back to Acts chapter 2 and the first church. And we're discovering how Capital Baptist Church can help you to grow spiritually the same way they grew in the first church. So if you would, take your Bible and turn to Acts chapter 16. Notice I didn't say Acts chapter 2. Some of you might have already went to Acts chapter 2, but we're not going to go there today. I'm going to talk about it, but we're not going to turn there. I chose today as our text Acts chapter 16, verse number 5. And the reason I picked this was to show you how that in Acts chapter 2, the first church in Jerusalem, they did a great job in the growth track. But the better thing to notice is how the church continued to grow in other places. In other words, the church of Jerusalem wasn't the only church that did this growth track. This was the normal Christian life of the early New Testament believers. And we need to understand the normal Christian life is a growing relationship with Jesus. So many of us think, wow, that person's really on fire for the Lord, you know, like there's something unusual. No, all of us need to be on fire for the Lord, right? The abnormal Christian is the one that's not growing. That's not the normal Christian life. The normal Christian life is a constant progression of next steps, constantly taking next steps. And so we're going to look at this today as we talk about let's grow deep and wide. Now, our theme verse for this study has been 2 Peter 3:18, where it says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen." 2 Peter 3:18. So I want us to say this out loud together, real loud and real clear, and don't miss the connection between grow and Jesus. Grow in Jesus. We're to grow to be like Jesus. We're to grow to be like Jesus. Let's say it real loud and clear. Here we go. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. 2 Peter 3:18. So we need to grow. We need to grow to be like Jesus. In Acts 16, verse number 5, the Bible records this. So the churches. So what was church life back like in the New Testament? The church is, what was going on? Number one, they were strengthened in the faith. And number two, they increased in number daily. You see, the normal Christian life, being part of the New Testament church, was number one, grew deep. You were strengthened in the faith. You were strengthened in the faith. But then also you grew wide. In other words, the numbers were increasing, and more people were growing to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. And so again, Acts 16, verse 5 says, so the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. And so it's our goal that we be this type of church. It says the church is. Well, we'd like to be included in that list of churches that are helping people grow deep, that are helping people get strengthened in their faith. But we also want to be part of that group that is growing wide, and increasing in number daily. So with that said, let's go to page 2 of our notes, and let's talk about let's grow deep and wide. Let's grow deep and wide. So the first thing we see here is that they grew deep. You need to grow deep. You need to be established in your faith. Now, you know what that word established means, right? A lot of times we'll say they're very established in the community. Well, what does that mean? That means that they are like have roots. That means that they are known. I mean, they means they are out there, okay? And yes, it's good to be established in your community, but better yet, to be established in your faith. That means to be grounded in your faith. That means to have roots in your faith, to be established in your faith. So number one, we have to grow deep. We have to grow deep. Now, in Capital Baptist Church, we have an image of our growth track, and I want to show this to you today, okay? So this is our track. So when we talk about being on a growth track that we've been describing in this series, we actually have an image that we put together to describe the growth track. So at the center of this image is a cross. There's a cross. And that's by design, because the focus of the Christian life is on the cross, right? That's the central focus of our faith. The cross is the symbol of our faith. Okay, the cross is the symbol of our faith. And so we remember that today. You know, Jesus told us that we partake in communion. He said this, "This do in remembrance of me. This do in remembrance of me." The reason we partake in communion, there's more than one, but the one I want to say right now, is to remember Jesus. To remember Jesus. And we're given two tangible elements. We're given the bread and we're given the cup. Jesus called it the bread, he called it the cup. And these signify Jesus. Number one, the bread signifies the body of Jesus. That Jesus died. And the Bible says he suffered in his body, and the Bible says he bore our sins in his body. So we remember the cross, and we remember the sacrifice of Jesus, the fact that in his body he was beaten, in his body he was bruised, in his body he was spit on, in his body they placed a crown of thorns, in his body they stuck a spear through his side, and worse yet, in his body he was so painfully scourged. He took lashing after lashing after lashing in his body as a sacrifice for our sin. But the worst form of suffering for Jesus was not the physical aspect. The worst part of suffering for Jesus was the spiritual aspect. Because the Bible says in his body he bore our what? Our sins. Holy God, Jesus, holy Jesus, never sinned one time, bore not his sin. He didn't have any sin to bear. He took your sin. He took my sin. Praise Jesus. This do in remembrance of him. And then the cup Jesus told us, this do in remembrance of me. Remember, he says, the blood sacrifice. Remember that it was a blood sacrifice. Why was that so important? Because the Bible says that our sin is cleansed through the blood of Jesus. So it was the fact that it was his blood, his precious blood, that was given for us. And it's through the blood of Jesus our sins are washed away. It's through the blood of Jesus that our sins are cleansed. Praise God for the blood sacrifice that Jesus made for us. And so the cross is at the it's at the center of everything we are as Christians, okay? And it's on this track, the cross, that we grow spiritually. So the habits are the things we've talked about on the track are belong, connect, serve, bring, and worship, all right? So how do you get on the track? Well, you start out with belong, okay? That gets you onto the track. And that's the ABCs of the Christian life. Accept Christ, be baptized, commit to the church. So you get on the growth track with belong. That's where you start out, okay? But you don't stop there, right? You keep on going around, and you get over here to connect. And on connect, you connect, number one, with God through a daily quiet time. Number two, you connect with others, through other people, by getting into some type of group. You get into a group and you connect with other people. But you don't stop there, do you? Okay? The Christian life is not just about you. It's about other people, right? And that is serve. So you keep on growing on the track. You keep on growing on your track. And you find out, okay, what is my shape? How has God shaped me for ministry? What's my spiritual gifts? What's my heart? What's my abilities? What's my personality? What's my experience? How can I use that in serving? Okay? But you don't stop there, right? If we don't get over here to this habit, what happens? You know, Christianity, what? Dies. The church dies, right? See, we have to reproduce ourselves. We have to grow spiritually and help other people to grow spiritually. And that's where bring comes in. We try to bring people to Jesus. We try to bring people to Capital Baptist Church or some other good church, okay? But we're bringers. And if we don't bring, guess what happens? Christianity stops, you know? Christianity dies. The church dies, you know? And then the thing that holds it all together, it's right here in the center. Okay, look at that. Right in the middle is worship. 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 Because everything's connected with worship. Belong is connected with worship. Connect is connected with worship. Serve is connected with worship. Bring is connected with worship. Because what? We're supposed to be what? Daily worshipers, right? Worship is a verb. It's something you do. It's not just something you attend. It's a verb. And we're to worship 24/7. We're to worship constantly God. And then we are to, at least once a week, gather together with other believers and assemble together and worship the Lord corporately together. So this is our growth track. This is the track that we follow, and again, it's modeled after the first church. Okay, we didn't think this up ourselves. This is the model that we follow. And so I want to explain this to you again today for you that have been here, and hardly any of you heard all the messages, okay, because it's been vacation time and all that stuff, okay? And then some of you are here for the first time today. So what I'm going to do today is I want to go through this with you very quickly, okay? If there's any of these you're interested in, you can look up the sermon on our website and you can listen to the whole sermon. Now, let's talk about the card here. This connection card on the back looks different than any other connection card I've ever put together, all right? So what I've done, I've moved what's normally at the bottom, take my next step, which is I moved that from the bottom to the top. Number one. Number two, it's usually one line there. There's three lines there. Now, the reason for this is I'm going to go through the growth track with you. And some of you still need to take some next steps. You still need to take some next steps. And listen, I'm going to challenge you today to take a next step. And I've actually got a line for three. Some of you might not need to put any down there. You're taking them all. I doubt that very seriously, but it is possible, okay? Some of you, three is not enough. You need an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper or whatever, okay? But you can write more at the bottom there, okay? Three is not even enough for you. You really are new or whatever. You're just starting out, and you got a lot to do on the growth track. So what I want you to do is I'm going to walk you through this, and then I want you to write on the back of the card the next step or steps that you are going to take. Does everybody understand? Thank you. Okay? So let's dive in. Now notice this is based on Acts 2, 41 through 47. So first of all, grow by belonging. So what we see in Acts 2, 41 are what I call the ABCs of the Christian life. You know, you got to start with the ABCs, right? I mean, that's where you start in school, right? It's where you also start spiritually. And so the Bible says in Acts 2:41 that they received the word, they were baptized, and they were added to the church. These were the ABCs. So what is the first one? The A is accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. Accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. Spiritual growth starts with a decision. And that decision is to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your Lord. In John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "But as many as received him," that's Jesus, "to them he gave the right to become" what? "Children of God." How do you become a child of God? You do that by choosing to follow Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. To those who what? Believe. That means trust in his name. So you got to start out by making a decision. And that decision is to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your Lord. And that's what makes this so important, communion, okay? Because what we're doing is we're remembering what it takes to receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. So what do we need to do? Well, number one, we need to realize that all of us are sinners. I am a sinner. You are a sinner. We've all sinned against God, right? And the Bible says because of our sin, we deserve to go to hell. Okay, a lot of preachers leave that part out, you know? I don't leave it out, okay? Because, you know, the good news is the bad news, okay? The good news is I don't have to go to hell, okay? Amen. So, if you don't talk about the bad news, then plus people don't repent of their sin, they're going to hell anyway, Luke 13:3, okay? A lot of preachers leave out repentance. They don't talk about turning from your sin, and people that don't repent are going to hell, okay? It's called easy believism, okay? The Bible doesn't teach easy believism, all right? To get saved, you got to turn from your sin and trust in Christ, all right? It's called repentance. That's the Bible word, to repent, to turn, okay? So number one, you need to realize that there's some bad news. You're like me. I'm a sinner, and you are too. And I, just like you, deserve hell. But the great news is God doesn't want anybody in hell, and he made a way for all of us to go to heaven, okay? And that is Jesus came from heaven, God in the flesh, Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. God with us. God came to this earth. He lived a perfect life. He never sinned one time. And when he died with a purpose. And his purpose was to be a sacrifice for our sin. And when he died so we wouldn't have to go to hell. He died so that we could go to heaven. And listen, he made the way. But he didn't just die. He died, but he was buried. And listen, he rose from the grave. He resurrected to give us eternal life. And if we will turn from our sin and receive him, trust in him as our Savior and Lord, we too can go to heaven. Praise God. Have you made that decision? Would you like to make that decision? Let's bow our heads right now. Let's give you an opportunity right now to make that decision. The Bible says to receive him means to just invite him in, call out to him, pray to him, talk to him. You say, well, I don't know what to say. Well, I'll help you with that. But please know this, I can't save you. When you pray this prayer, it's from your heart to God's heart. It's not me. I have no power to get you to heaven. I'm a sinner just like you. I'm a human just like you. I have no special authority in any way to help you, okay? My authority comes from the Word of God, okay? And the Word of God says if you call on the Lord, you can be saved. So I know a little bit about what it takes to call on the Lord. That's about the only thing I know more than you know, okay? And I can tell you what to pray to God, but it's got to be from your heart to his heart. So just pray something like this, okay? If you want to accept Christ today, just say, Dear God, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I believe that Jesus died for my sins and rose from the grave. I believe that Jesus died for my sins and rose from the grave. And right now, I turn from my sins. Right now, I turn from my sins. And I put my trust in Jesus and Jesus alone to get me to heaven. I put my trust in Jesus and Jesus alone to get me to heaven. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and save me right now. Save me right now. Lord, thank you so much for providing salvation for us. Lord, thank you so much that we can start our growing relationship with you by being saved. And I pray, Lord, for anyone that prayed that prayer today or or anyone listening online later on that prays that prayer. Oh God, thank you. We praise you for that. Thank you for salvation through Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Number two, and by the way, if you prayed that prayer, put that on that first line there that you accepted Christ as the next step. But then it says they received the word and they were baptized. Right? You got to be baptized. Now, baptism is so important, you know, and I got a whole little booklet I'll be glad to give you in the lobby if you come see me if you want a lot more information. But just to simplify it, I've got one verse here today, and that's Romans chapter 6, verse 4. It says, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into his death, that, underline these two words, just as Christ was raised from the dead. So basically what this tells us is that baptism is just as. And what it means is it's a symbol. It's just as something. And what is it just as? It's a picture, a symbol of our salvation through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. So God gave us what we call ordinances. There's two ordinances in the Bible. Ordinances are symbols of our salvation. This is an ordinance right here, okay? This is one of them. It's called communion or the Lord's Supper. The other is baptism. Okay, behind me is a little pool of water. It's like a sauna, basically. And it's a baptistry, okay? And this is where people are baptized. And so basically, baptism is so important, okay? So important. We don't have an example of a believer in the Bible who didn't get baptized. All right? If you aren't getting baptized, you are an odd thing, okay? If you're really a believer, you know? It's nowhere in the Bible, that's for sure, okay? Jesus himself got baptized to say how important it was. So he got baptized, and here you are saying, I'm not going to get baptized. Wow, really? What audacity. That takes, you say, you're being mean to me. I'm not being mean to you. I'm just saying, don't you find that weird? Don't you find that odd that Jesus will get baptized and you aren't willing to get baptized? I find it kind of strange, to be honest with you, okay? If you're ignorant and don't know any better, that's fine. But, you know, if you know better and don't do it and you harden your heart, that's sin, okay? That's sin. See, Jesus made baptism kind of like the coming out celebration of salvation. So when you get saved, it's kind of an inner thing you do, a private thing you do. But Jesus didn't just stop there. He wanted you to publicly confess him. And he designed this thing called baptism. Well, you would come out publicly. Now, he put it in the easiest place. He didn't put it at your workplace. Suppose he put baptism at your workplace. Wouldn't that be interesting? Well, what if he said, okay, Pastor Steve Reynolds has got to come to your workplace and baptize you right beside your cubicle, whatever, okay? Boy, sweating bullets for that one, okay? He made it so easy. He started out saying, would you mind telling other Christians you're saved? would you mind doing that? All right. And so he says, okay, get baptized. You know, it's a symbol. So basically, if you've never seen a baptism, I say, here's what I do. I say, have you accepted Christ as your Savior? You say yes, because we make sure you've made that decision. Then you say, based on your profession of faith, and I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Why did I say that? Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Jesus said, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then I'm going to say, buried in the likeness of his death, and I'm going to lower you into the water. And then I'm just going to put you down there a mini second. I'm going to raise you up, and I'm going to say, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Why am I going to do that? Is that some little, you know, thing that we learned in seminary we're supposed to say? No, it's what Jesus said. Jesus said, like as Jesus died for your sin, was buried, and rose from the grave. Have you been baptized? And if you haven't, it's time to make that a next step. It's time to do it, okay? And then commit yourself to Capital Baptist Church as a member. You need to move from being an attender of a church to a member of a church. And this is a decision where you choose a spiritual family, where you say, okay, this is going to be my spiritual family. And you don't just want to be an attender. Of course you need to be a attender for a while. You know, you need to get to know your family, you know. But at some point in time, it's time to move to a commitment, okay. It's time to become a member, you know. The Bible says we're members one of another. Let's be members one of another. And if you've never committed to Capital Baptist Church as a member, perhaps it's time, you know. And if this is not the church for you, say, this is not the church for me, fine, you know, fine. Man, we are blessed. God's given us some churches out here all around the community. We thank God for every good church in the DMV. Praise God for every one of them. If you don't like our church, I can recommend some to you, okay? Just come see me. Seriously, I'll tell you something to go to, whatever, okay? Because you need to get in the church, you know? You need to get in the church. You need to make a commitment. You need to make a commitment. So that's belong, right? That's the ABCs. Have you done the ABCs? You know, you say, I'm ready for algebra. No, you're not. Not till you do the ABCs, okay? Let's see, ABCs, not numbers. Okay, anyway, that was a bad illustration. Okay, you're not ready for literature class. Oh, man, how boring. Okay, literature, whatever. Move on, okay? Grow by connecting. My wife and I took literature together, and we wrote love notes to each other the whole time. Whatever, okay? Grow by connecting. It's a true story. Grow by connecting, okay? The Bible says in Acts 2, 42 and 43, they got connected. Number one, they got connected with God. So it says they were in the Word and in prayer. They were in the Word and they were in prayer. You need to connect with God by establishing a daily quiet time. A daily quiet time. So what this is, where you set aside 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, whatever, okay, whatever, where you focus only on God. And you do two things. You read the Bible and you pray. God speaks to you through his word. You speak to God through prayer. It's one-on-one, you don't do anything else. You shut everything else out of your life. Now, what you're trying to do is you're trying to make a good, solid connection with God. It's kind of like your cell phone, right? You know, don't you get excited when all the bars are there? You know, you got a good, strong connection, right? You need to have a good, strong connection with God. Yeah, the Bible says pray without ceasing. Yes, you'll talk to God along your way as you do your deal each day. But this is time where you're not doing your deal. All you're doing is you're with the Lord. That's all you're doing. It might be 3 minutes. It might be 5 minutes. It might be 15 minutes. It might be a half hour. It might be an hour. It may be more. I don't know, okay? But I know this. You do nothing else, okay? Here is the number one way to grow spiritually. I would love to say the number one way to grow spiritually is to come to a church service and hear Pastor Steve Reynolds talk, and you will grow the most spiritually. If I said that, I would be lying through my teeth. The number one way a Christian grows is through the daily quiet time. There's nothing more important for you to do than making sure you get that good connection with God every day. And we give you a tool. It's called the Growth Guide. We actually put a tool together that helps you do this, okay? And it's available every single week, okay? The Growth Guide. And you can get this three ways. You can get it off our website. You can get it in the lobby in the corner. But the best place is to go to a growth group, all right? And so we put this together. There's many other ways. There's a thing called YouVersion. Fantastic. I believe it's one of the greatest things to happen in my lifetime, YouVersion. I mean, here is an app that you can pick so many different plans. It is absolutely mind-boggling, that app. And you can customize a plan for whatever your need is at a particular time in your Christian life. Just find something, okay? Make that connection. And realize in Luke chapter 10, it says in verse 41 and 42, Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, 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 you're worried and you're troubled about many things. But one thing is needed. Underline that. One thing is needed. And Mary has chosen, underline these two words, the good part. The good part. And then look at this. Underline this, which will not be taken away from her. You know this story? I can't go into it in detail. Let me just give you the big points. So Jesus was single. Did you know that? But he also understood he was supposed to have relationships. I mean, you know, the principle of man shall not, you know, it's not good for a man to be alone. Yeah, I mean, I know the context is he gets a wife or whatever, but the principle is bigger than just marriage. It's not good that you're alone. God designed you for relationships. Whether you're single or married, you need to have relationships. And so Jesus didn't just, you know, survive by himself. He had friends, okay? The people he just hung out with. And some of his friends were these three here, Lazarus, okay, Martha, and Mary. And so Jesus is going over here. Okay, I think three times in the Bible we see him doing this, okay? And he's over at their house, okay? Lazarus, Mary, Martha. They were brothers and sisters, okay? And he's over there. I don't have room for the whole text, but basically what happens is these two sisters, and Martha, she's like in the kitchen working, probably preparing maybe some food or whatever, right? So she's over there, and she's getting things together. She's trying to prepare a meal for Jesus, and I'm sure, you know, she's getting really upset because her sister's not in there with her, you know, working. I guarantee you she started banging pans first. Can you imagine? Hoping Mary would get the point. Come on in here and help me, okay? But she didn't come. And so she sticks her head in the room and says, Jesus, aren't you going to tell Mary to come in here and work with me? And Jesus said, listen, Martha, you are troubled about many things, aren't you? Aren't you worried about many things? Aren't you troubled about many things? Aren't we all like Martha? We're worried and troubled about many things, aren't we? But he said to Martha about Mary, what was Mary doing? She was just sitting at the feet of Jesus. Just sitting at the feet of Jesus. Just sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus told her, one thing is needed. Now, why would he put it that way? Because here's the deal. Yes, God wants you to serve. Yes, he does. But if you don't do the one needed thing, you're not going to be worth anything when you serve. If I didn't spend time with God this week, I would be of no use to you today. If you sense any anointing on me today, it's because of the time I spent with the Lord this week, okay? Your service is futile without doing the one needed thing. You know, the back of my office door, I have a sign right next to it says, did you do the one needed thing today? Did you do the one needed thing today? And he calls it the good part. The good part of your day is when you sit at the feet of Jesus. That's the good part of your day. And then, I love this, that part will never be taken away. I can't say that about Facebook, okay? But I can say this, you spend time with the Lord and have a quiet time, it will never be taken away. God will remember that forever. Praise Jesus. Make a next step having a daily quiet time with God. Okay? Please, please do that. And then connect with God by attending a growth group. You need to connect with other people. It says they were in the Word and prayer, and they were fellowshipping together. See, you get into some kind of group, okay? Maybe it's a Sunday morning growth group. Maybe it's Sunday night. Maybe it's something you do in your home. Or I don't know, okay? I just know you get connected with some other believers, okay? You get connected with some other believers. And you're there to grow spiritually. The purpose of the meeting is we're here to fellowship, but more than that, we're here to grow spiritually. And you need to get into a group, you know? And so listen, is that your next step? Then grow by serving. Grow by serving. It says they went out and met needs. And to me, that's a simple definition of ministry. Ministry is meeting needs. That's what ministry is, meeting all kinds of needs. There are hundreds and hundreds of needs that people have. And our church tries to meet needs by serving, okay? So the way we do this at Capital Baptist Church is we have what's called the purple folder. The purple folder. Why is it the purple folder? Because whenever we started that, that's what we had in stock, the it was purple, so we came up with the purple folder. Now, how many of you are willing to help me do my job, okay? Raise your hand. I'm not looking, so if you don't raise your hand, that's fine, okay? I got a job to do. I don't know if y'all know this or not, okay? And my job, it says here, okay, is I'm supposed to be, as a pastor, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, all right? So here's the deal. The purple folder is a way for me to understand how God shaped you, okay? How God put you together, okay? So guess what? I need to do my job, right? I need to do my job. And so I need you to do your job by starting out by filling out one of these purple folders, okay? So if you haven't gotten one of these, I need you to come by and get it, okay, from me. About 30 of you have one and haven't turned it in, okay? All right, I have your name, okay? I know where you live, okay? I had one guy at 8:15 tell me, he says, I've gotten three of those and threw away all three of them. I said, oh, well, it's about $4. The spiritual gift survey is $2.50. So told him to get his wallet out and hand me 10, okay, just for the, you know. I said, dude, don't be throwing this stuff away, okay? So praise the Lord. But if you threw it away, come and humble yourself, and we will give you 40 lashings, and we'll give you another one, okay, whatever, all right? Because here's the deal. Some of you have filled one out, and I haven't even met with you. So let's all bow our heads and humble ourselves, okay? All right, and if that's you, put a nasty note on there to me, and I will respond quickly, okay? We got to grow by serving, and then grow by bringing. The Bible says that they every day people were getting saved. Boy, that would be awesome if our church was that way. We're not. I wish we were, okay? And we can be. God can help us, you know? But, you know, you got to remember, if we don't bring people to Jesus and church, Christianity, and our church dies, right? Just think about it. You don't understand. If we don't reproduce ourselves, Christianity will die, you know? It will die. And if we don't bring people to our church will die, right? That's what God's plan is, for us to be bringers, to be bringers. And so there's a specific opportunity to bring coming up here, and that's number three on the connection card. Bring someone to church for the Taking God to Work Spiritual Growth Campaign. And we'll say more about that. But here's an opportunity to go into highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. And then grow by worshiping. It says they were praising God. Grow by worshiping. And like I said, that is at the center of everything. Daily worship God outside the church, and Sunday worship God inside the church. So, like I said, worship is a verb. It's not a noun. It's not I'm going to the worship service or whatever. It's a verb. I'm worshiping. I worship, okay? And you do it 24/7. You never stop worshiping, right? You never stop worshiping. But then, you know, there is a time where you need to come and worship with other believers. So isn't it interesting? See, we think Monday is the first day of the week, but it's not. Sunday's the first day of the week. And God designed it so that you would start your week out Sunday, where you would gather with other believers. And the word church means, it's ecclesia, and church means a called out assembly of baptized believers. So the church is an assembly. It's a gathering. It's a group, okay? It's a gathering together, okay? And the Bible says we're not to forsake the assembling. That means we're not to forsake the church coming together. We need to make a priority of doing our best to at least one time a week attend a worship service, you know? And, you know, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, whatever, okay? But you know, at least one, and make it a priority, and try to, you know, push other things out and try to make this the place to be on Sunday morning, okay? And don't miss the forsaking. Don't forsake the assembling, all right? So do you have any things on there, okay? Look, accept Christ, be baptized, commit as a member, have a daily quiet time, you know, get in a group, doing the purple folder, being a bringer, worshiping God each day, worshiping God on Sunday. Do you have anything written there, okay? Do you have anything written there, all right? And if not, wonderful. It's either one or two things. Either you got it down, which is fantastic. We hope you have it down, okay? Or you don't care, okay? You don't care. So hopefully it's number one. Okay, then let's wrap it up because we've got communion. Grow wide. Grow wide. It says they grew numerically. They grew wide. They grew wide. I want to introduce to you very quickly the next step of us growing wide. So starting next Sunday, we're going to have what we call the Fall Growth Campaign. And it's designed for spiritual growth and numerical growth. Now, this is year number 8. I looked this up. Okay, year number 8. Boy, time goes by fast, doesn't it? So about 8 years ago, God put it on my heart that in the fall, we would take a big topic and we would do a teaching series. But more than that, it would be like we're going to add some extra bells and whistles to it. We're going to try to blow it out. Okay. And we're going to go the extra mile, some extra effort. So this year, the topic is going to be work. So in the past, real fast, just to look back, it's kind of fun to look this up. So we started out with a thing called Choose Joy. We did my favorite book of the Bible, Philippians. Then we did Yay Marriage. We did a whole campaign built around marriage. Then we did one called Come On, Get Happy. Some of you still aren't happy, okay? And that was on the Beatitudes. And then I did one called Wise Up. That turned into a book. That book that we have was that Spiritual Growth Campaign. That was based on wisdom and Proverbs. Then we did one called Unshakable, Standing Strong When Things Go Wrong. We did one on the tongue called Tongue Pierced. And then last year, we did one called Afterlife, What Happens When You Die. Now, I'll just tell you, Afterlife, Tongue Pierced, Unshakable, and Wise Up, they're on the website. You can still listen to those sermons, okay? So if any of that was something that hits you, you want to learn more about, you can go to capitalbaptist.org, hit the tab that says Listen, and you can just peel back through there in the pages, and you'll find those four series, okay? So this year, we're doing work, okay? We're doing work. And it's going to be taking God to work. So here's the deal. Number one, we have the individual level. There's two things we want to ask you to do. Number one is called the growth guide. So we have a growth guide already designed for next week. We want to encourage you to get one of those in the lobby or on the website, or best yet, go to a growth group and do your growth guide. So next week is all about a general introduction about work, okay? Then we're going to have a key verse. We'd like to encourage you to memorize it. You'll get 10 of these cards. Pull this card out. Don't lose it, okay? So we're going to go, and we're going to give you 10 of these. So this is our opening one. It's Colossians 3:23. Now, I did have 24 on there. And I said, Rendy, it's way too long. I have the gift of mercy. We're going to just make it 23, okay? So it's a pithy little verse. And it says, whatever you do, what do you do? Are you a doctor? Are you a teacher? Are you a homemaker? Are you a, administrator? Are you a, driver? What, plumber? Whatever you do, it doesn't matter. Do it heartily. To who? The Lord. And not to who? Man. So memorize that, okay? Number two, the congregational level. We're going to do 10 messages. Okay, let me real quick. Okay, there's going to be 10 messages. This is going to be a series broken into three parts. Part number one is going to be the scripture and work. I'm going to do three messages of a foundation of the Bible and work. Okay, so next week is, does God fit in my briefcase or your lunchbox or your bag or whatever you take to work, okay? And then temptations in a modern, diverse culture. And then what God thinks about you and your work. So the first three messages are the scripture and work. Second section is success and work. How can you be, because the subtitle is how to have lasting success. And so we're going to talk about finding a job you can love, how to advance your career, excellent work in a mediocre world. The third and final section is going to be stress and work. We did a survey. Remember the survey? Some of you helped me out. And I picked four of the top stresses that you indicated about your work. And we're going to talk about what to do when your work is driving you crazy. We're going to talk about overcoming difficult people. We're going to talk about work and the balanced Christian life. How do you keep your life balanced? And then we're going to talk about living beyond paycheck to paycheck. It's going to be an awesome series. And then we want to encourage you to get into a group. Get into a group. So, folks, we have a growth track at Capital Baptist Church. You know, I'm so glad for that. I'm so glad that we have an intentional track that we're running on. And so run with us. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you for the first church. What a great example you gave us. Lord, thank you that by the time we got to Acts chapter 16, verse number 5, the church was still on a growth track. They were establishing people in the faith. They were growing numerically. They were growing deep and they were growing wide. And Lord, I pray that in 2017, that you will find the same thing true of Capital Baptist Church. That we as a church, hundreds and hundreds of years later from the first church, Lord, that we would be still at it, still helping people to grow deep, still helping people to grow wide. And we thank you. In Jesus, we love you. Amen.